Welcome to Just an Average Citizen, the podcast that helps to educate, inform, and empower you to make an impact in Abilene and the Big Country. Welcome to our podcast. I'm so excited for this episode. It is always an unknown what I'm going to discover. And like I've told you many times, sometimes I find some good stuff. And today we'll see what I have to offer you. But I think it's some valuable information that you'll enjoy looking through. This is an exciting time to be alive. And I'm so grateful you've joined me today. And I would love it if you'd be willing to share this podcast with your friends and family and to make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you choose, because it helps get it into the queue of other people so that they can possibly be introduced to it. Because as we move along this year, I do think we're going to start to need a source for getting good information about what's going on in the city. And I will say that I am learning more and more how to operate in the parameters of what you're supposed to do. And I want to be able to share those tips and information to help you be more successful than I have been in the past. And so we do it together, but right now I have invested so much time and energy in this that I know that for us to keep moving forward, we're going to have to collaborate and work together as a community to make a better impact in what we need to see happen in our community. And again, I'm not doing this out of concern or out of a reason for like there's an agenda I'm after. Like I'm trying to get to the root of some unknown craziness or inappropriateness. I just realized that it is really hard to find information about what's going on in our city, because we as taxpayers need to know what's going on. And I say we as taxpayers, because if you buy products in Abilene, if you go grocery shopping in Abilene, if you live in a home in Abilene, in some way, shape, or form, you are contributing to the revenue that makes our city work. And so it's important that we understand what is going on in the day to day so that we can make sure it's up to the best it can be. And part of what we need to do is be more involved in helping make those decisions so that we are part of the conversation than rather just feeling like things are happening out of our control, because that's not the way our government was set up. It was set up for us to be able to make an impact and give direction to what needs to happen to be successful here. So that's kind of what I'm up to. But I will let you know, I love to laugh and I have fun laughing with people around me. A lot of times it's at me, it's with me, around me. And so as I was excitedly, oh my goodness, I left it over here, preparing for today, I thought I would share a little bit of my humor with you, because you know, cut and dry, middle of the road, is just not as exciting as it should be. And I'm sorry I'm taking a really long time to get to this, but here we go. I talked about it last week, but here it is in print. Yes, I know this is a municipal podcast episode. And yes, I know I'm probably the only one, I can't get my thing, excited about having my own personal copy of the operating budget. It is 336 pages. See, they just don't let me have this listed on my Goodreads account. I don't know why. Of course, it's not reading like an actual book, but I do feel like it counts as some kind of reading, right? And so as I was perusing through it, you know, like a weirdo, I'm sorry, I'm the weirdo, like someone who gets the latest new release, John Grisham novel. Is that a thing anymore? Or whatever novel you like to read, you just can't put it down. And so I was perusing through it, and I don't know how many Office fans I have in here, but I just have to show you, look what I found. Did you know Abilene has an assistant to the city manager? I know it's not the regional manager, but it's an assistant to the city manager. I'm going to have to find out who that is and see if they have any leanings to the office too. But you know, we got to have fun. We have to laugh and enjoy things and find things that's humorous. We got to share it, because laughter is contagious and joy is contagious. And as we operate in this battle to make sure we are operating in full capacity the way we were created to, we got to make sure we bring in some humor along the way. So I do want to keep pushing this for the next few weeks, because I'm really shocked at how many people don't really know what's going on. And I was one of those people. And so that's where I come in and try and give you the information you need so that you don't have to be a me. You could be better than me, and you can be better than a just an average citizen, because that's what it's going to take. Because we know that's tongue in cheek, for we can't be just average and continue to expect things to be different. We actually have to participate and be engaged. And the more I talk to friends and get out in the community, I start to see that we are becoming more engaged. And that's really exciting and spurs me on. And so I was actually at the, that was at the city council meeting on Thursday. And it was so fun because there was not a lot on the agenda that required a big public presence besides the announcement of our interim chief of police who was retiring. So I expected a crowd from that crew. And then, I think just recognition of all he served for over 31 years. So I expected that crew, but there was a huge group, probably about 15 college students. And I was like, what is going on? What did I miss? And so of course, afterwards, while they were in executive session, I hopped over and introduced myself or just welcomed them and told them I'm so proud of them for stepping into understanding how municipal government works and state government and federal government works, and invited them to be a part of what's going on at 201 Mesquite Center on February 5th. And so they were excited to come. They were excited to check it out. And so I want to build up that excitement because we want to have a great turnout, because the more people who show up, the better opportunity we have for them to be informed. And so here it is on the screen. We have saved the date for February 5th. It's a Monday at 201 Mesquite Center. It is the Taylor County Republican primary candidate forum. And remember, we are a Republican county. And so our decisions on who we want to represent us happen in March at the primary. And there's a lot of other convention dates that I'm learning about that have to do with our county. And as I know those, I'll let you know, because it's important to be a part of the conversation. For sure, showing up, because again, we can't keep doing what we've always done and expect better results. We've got to start being involved. And so this is happening on Monday the 5th. I'm excited about it, and many people are excited about it. I do believe the news, we'll see what's going to happen. There's going to be some exciting things happening on that date. So again, we have all the different candidates running for office, and we're going to have some of the incumbents there as well as their challengers. And so it's really important to hear what the incumbents have to say and the challengers, how they're going to improve the circumstances, because we don't want to elect the same of what we've already had if it's not ideal. And again, how do we know it's not ideal? We don't know until we start understanding what the issues are. And I was even asked on Thursday at the city council meeting, what are the issues? And I was able to come up with, I think, the three top issues right now for most voters and something for Taylor County. And so it is important for you to come and hear what happens and what goes on in our community, as well as what are the Republican Party platforms. Are you okay with those? Are you supportive of those? Is that what you want? Is that what you want to define who represents you? You know, Republican is different in a national level and in a state level and a local level. And there are some great movers and shakers in our Taylor County Republican Party, and they're really making a great impact in improving the quality of life and how we do things in our county. And so it's important because there's a lot more of us in the county. In fact, 75% of the vote is actually in the Abilene, Taylor County area, Abilene, Big Country area, for our House District or Texas House Representative. So we have a big say in what happens with the representation in our community. So let's show up on February 5th to hear what the candidates have to say and get to meet them, because they're going to be hanging around so that we can meet them. All right. So I was trying to think, what do we need to talk about and how can I bring some information to you that's helpful? Because that's what I always try to do. I tell you about what's going on, what to expect. But here's my little free info if you would like to pay attention to this. And I guess since I'm doing this podcast, you're gonna have to stick it out till I get to the other parts. I have a picture here, and I didn't get to talk about this last week because I was giving you too much information, but I do want to begin to prepare you and let you know that starting in February, they're going to have a city council strategic planning workshop. And a lot of us are not going to be able to make it, but it is online for you to watch. And I think it's good to start listening to these conversations. It happened last year on a Tuesday, I believe. And so as soon as I know that information, I'll get it to you. I meant to check before I started the podcast and I forgot to check. So I don't even know if it's on the calendar yet, but I'll let you know. And then we can move into paying attention to what's going on so that when July comes around, we can download that proposed budget and start looking at it like we know what's going on, because we've been preparing ourselves in small increments to be able to be educated and informed about what's going on in Abilene. And surprisingly, what goes on in Abilene affects the Big Country too. So again, you can say, I don't have a say, but it's good to know what's going on, because there's a lot of interesting information that is given if you're willing to do the research. So we'll keep talking about that. I know. So I'm going to go through this briefly just to highlight some things, because again, I want you to understand what's going on, because we were created to do hard things. And if we don't have that resistance in our brain, it becomes mushy. And then we think, oh my gosh, this is over my head. And I am so guilty of that. So don't be like me and how I used to be. Take from my leadership, let my ceiling be your floor, and become more educated. So what happens is we are a fund structured budget, meaning it's not like a household budget. It revolves around funds. So I just wanted to show you a couple things. Now this is the book that I just showed you, but you can download it. You don't have to pay. Thanks to Javier at Best Printing, he was able to get me a really good price for this because he's so creative. Not that he gave me a deal, but he worked my money for me. And I love that about him for sure. Okay. So I wanted to show you just what is included in this operating budget, because I think even this is very important to understand. Now I'm going to zoom in on this so that we can see it a little better. Oh, and then I do that. There we go. Let's see if I can get back there. All right, there we go. Okay. So here we have included, we have the general fund, which is the major fund. We have a special revenue funds, community development funds, home fund, health services fund, transportation and planning, hotel occupancy tax fund, seized funds, court funds, street maintenance fund, downtown hotel operating fund, general debt service fund, water and sewer operating fund, water and sewer debt service fund, airport operating fund, transit fund, stormwater, solid waste, stormwater is on there twice, fleet services, self-insurance fund, and technology fund. Now, can I tell you about all those? Nope. Can I give you a basic description? Yes, but it takes time to understand those things. What is excluded? And it's helpful to know because we want to have information about stuff, but some stuff is not accessible to us because that's the way the law works and that's the way the city is set up. So miscellaneous project fund, miscellaneous grants fund. We don't have the Abilene Reinvestment Zone 2, which is TERS 2. TERS stands for Tax Investment. No. Oh my gosh. I said it the other day and I got it messed up. Yeah. TERS. It just left me. Then we have the DCOA, which is crucial in bringing or instrumental in helping bring businesses to Abilene. Then we have the Abilene Convention Center Hotel Development Corporation, the ACCHDC. Then we have the 911 Emergency Communications District and the Abilene-Taylor County Events Venue District Capital Project Funds. And so those are not included in this budget. And I know I kind of frustrated them when I kept wanting them to bring all these budgets that they were passing through Kinnison Agenda into the presentation space so that we could understand what's going on, because there are things, and this has nothing to do with this, but there are things that the city contributes even minutely to different budgets and different structures in our city, and they're always working on budgets. So I came in at the right time because it was like budgets from July, maybe August to September, and then a little October. It was a lot of budget stuff. It was like drinking water from a fire hydrant. But anyway, these are the general operating budget funds. So you can understand if it doesn't fit in this on this side, then it's not going to be in the budget. These things you have to do separately. And even if you go to the website, you can see that like if there is an Abilene Taylor County Events Venue District, it's not under like boards and commissions or city council. It's like in its own little separate entity and has its own website. Okay, so just a few things to highlight. We're going to look at this. This is all operating funds budget summary. And I think this is good to look at. So in this, it looks like we have two. We start off with 2021, 2022, and then we have the actual, we have what's approved for the next year, 2022, 2023, and then they apparently made some adjustments in 2022, 2023, and then now we have the approved 2023, 2024 budget, which is what I've been showing you like a weirdo. And so what's interesting to look at, and so here is was 115 million for taxes and franchises. And then it went to 120, 123, 129.4. And so you can see that was going in upward order. That means that the city is getting more revenue through their taxes and franchises. And the same, now it looks different with the license and permits. Is 2.2 million. Then they, anyway, I'm not going to go through all this. We have Intergum, or really just wanted to show you the funding and I got a little sidetracked. Sorry. taking care of that. Okay, intergovernmental revenue. We get charges for service, which is quite significant. Look here, we get 129 million, almost 130 million, 132, almost 133, 138, and 144. Then we have some fines, miscellaneous revenue, and transfers in. And this little category wanted to make me go crazy because, again, it doesn't clarify where it's transferred in. You have to know that information. But good news is this budget is pretty straightforward. And so you can understand a lot if you just take some time to understand it. Then here are some expenditures. We have administration, general services, public safety, and infrastructure and development, and community services. So these are all operating funds. And I don't think this is the entire picture. I just wanted to show you some of the different things because it helps to know some of these terminology so we can get into it. All right. So I zoomed in, which is part of my problem. All right. The next thing I just wanted to show you. So let's see if I can. Oh, I'm a little afraid to go down. Nope. Okay. I'm going to see if I can scroll down a little bit. But debt, because we're going to talk about this in a little bit. There we go. Okay. So debt management is pretty straightforward. It is just what they use when they don't have funds on hand. And now what's great is I've heard our city manager, Robert Hanna, say many times that the city council wants him to operate with cash on hand. So I'm hoping to be able to understand how they are starting to prepare for the future in a way that will make sure we have cash on hand to take care of the projects we need or begin to work our budget to prepare for that, because there are several ways we can manage things when we don't have cash on hand, but we want to make sure to avoid that because there's consequences, and I'll show you the consequences in a little bit. So I really wasn't doing this podcast before I did this kind of talk on city bonds because I wanted people, or municipal bonds, because I wanted people to understand what we were actually voting on. And sadly, I wish I could have done this beforehand, but you know, hindsight's 2020, here I am. So there's several ways we can handle debt. And one of them is through general obligation bonds, which are voted at the ballot. So that's what we approved in November. We approved two of the three bonds that were presented on the ballot. And we have a say in that. Certificate of obligation bonds are bonds that the city can write out without having, or fund without having to have the citizens' permission. And there are times where I think that's appropriate. And then there are times where I think we should be able to have a little check on some of the things they're doing this for, because it's easy, it's convenient. I understand, but government's not supposed to be easy and convenient. It's supposed to be slow and methodical because we want to make sure we're doing the right thing. And I hope that makes sense. But so there is a clause or an interesting note. Certificate of obligation bonds can actually be forced to the ballot if we can get enough signatures in the 30 days, I think. I'm not sure how fast that is, but it's like 3,000 signatures I think we have to get. But you can actually stop it if you can, you know, scale a mountain in one small leap. Then there's revenue bonds. And these are bonds that actually come from revenue the city gets. So it's kind of like, you know, this revenue's coming and they just use that money, that revenue, to pay for these bonds. So in some ways, it's kind of a wash, but it's still debt and you're still counting on revenue coming in. And so you have to be careful, because what happens if the revenue stops or there's an issue there? Okay, I'm going to see if I can scroll down one more page here and get to the part I wanted to show you. Okay, so for example, so on page 242, you can look and see all of the general long-term bonds payable. So these are all the general obligation bonds, and we have the original amount we have been issued is $123 million. The bond principal that we have on is, as of 9/30/2023, is $72 million, I'm estimating here, to the nearest million, $72 million. And then the debt service that was paid, or expecting to be paid in 2024, is $7 or $8 million. So you can look through here and find some general information. It's not real easy to find where things have gone, but I remember when I was trying to understand why we were taking out a bond for the recreation facilities, trying to see if something had been set aside or anything had been done to these in a timely fashion. And so I started looking at this and trying to figure out how that works, but I was unsuccessful in finding out very much information. So more to be continued, I guess, is the best thing. All right. And then here are the listings of the certificate of obligation bonds. Okay. And here we have a total of amount issued originally. is $68 million. The bond principal as of 9/30 is $61 million. And debt service in 2024 will be, and debt service just means like the payment that will be, or the interest on the principal is about $5 million. Okay. So I think that's it. And then they have a sliding scale, which I don't find very helpful because it's just a big picture. Then the last area I wanted to address with you was major capital projects. So capital projects are projects they want to do that are long, bigger scope than what, you know, and so they have a list of things they want to accomplish. And the thing I was hoping actually to show you was the minor improvement project fund, but there's really only a little bit of addressing it happening in the beginning, and there's no information on it. And what's funny is I tried to find out information about this minor improvement project fund because it was talked about a lot in the budget. It was talked a lot about in the budget meetings. And I was like, there's no information. But I finally found that it actually is not necessarily in our charter, but there's a, if they set aside some money to fund this, it's kind of like a wish list, you know. At the end of the year, they have a list of things, or they have a set amount in there, which I'm not completely sure how they get it in there, but there's money in there and they're like, oh, we want to do these projects. Okay, we can fund these projects. For example, they wanted, well, for example, they, I believe, well, I won't go there, but it's hard to track this information. So I just wanted to show you here briefly the Cypress Street downtown streetscape movements. So the thing is I wasn't here, and I left for a season, just a couple years, and I wasn't here when this was approved, but in 2023, the city issued $7.2 million in certificate of obligation bonds to help fund the complete reconstruction of Cypress Street and the creation of a pedestrian-friendly mixed-use environment for downtown Abilene along Cypress Street corridor. This redevelopment project is a critical element to the city council's downtown redevelopment strategic priority. And that makes me go, huh, where could I find their redevelopment strategic priority for the downtown? The debt service will be funded with property tax revenue in the tax, that's what it's called, tax increment reinvestment zone. There we go. Number two. So it's anticipated to begin in 2024. The cost of this project is $8.4 million. So what they're doing is they're taking a little portion of the taxes they receive in this area, and they're putting it toward improving the street, this one street in all of downtown. And so I'm hoping they're making a good decision by ramping up one street when that's not a place where we really frequent too much yet as a city. I know they're trying to get tourism to come in, and so I hope it's a gamble that pays off, but that's a lot of money for one street. And you know, these TERs are totally legal and they've done in other cities, but it's just an interesting concept that you take tax money meant to pay for city services and use it for special projects. It's something I'm learning about, and those are just my two thoughts. But, you know, we got to start somewhere. And I used to be afraid to say things out loud like that because I didn't want to be wrong. And guess what? I can't be right on a whole lot of things all the time. So I'm going to try and do my best to communicate what I know. And as I grow and learn, I'll update information and move forward. But if I'm so afraid to say the wrong thing, then I will really stunt my ability to move and learn and become educated throughout the process. All right. So I think those are the few things I just wanted to touch base with on this week with the budget, because a lot of us are talking budgets at home. You've looked at what the cost, you know, you kind of a clean state, let's start over. So it's a good place to get involved. And the more I learn, the more I understand, and the more I appreciate what is actually going on. So, this is why, let me go ahead and transition. Let's talk about the week in review. So part of why I encourage us to go and be present is because sometimes technology fails us. And this is one time that technology fails us. I believe technology failed us last week because they have these mics, and I have learning mic etiquette. So please know that I have gotten coached by my professional to tell me exactly how my mic should be. And it took me a couple of mistakes before I got it right. In fact, what's funny is I was recording one of these podcasts and I was bragging about how awesome my mics are and how I'm set up far beyond what I deserve. And the mic was turned on the wrong one, so I got to redo it. So I just thought that's funny, you know, keeping it real here. But anyway, there was a few meetings this week that I think it's important. And you know, at the end of last week, The end of last week, I just went and talked to the lady that I've met at the city council who I found who runs a lot of the technology and the media stuff, or the AV stuff. And I just asked her, you know, how can we address this? And funny enough, she had been addressing it all week. So I felt a little stupid because I didn't know she was addressing something that I had noticed the week before. And, you know, because I'm a little slow to figure out who I need to talk to, and I'm not slow. It's just not always easy to know how to handle things and what is actually something they can fix and what is something beyond their control. So it's fun. This meeting, they hired a lot of, I've been given an email to make sure you speak into the mic. That was happening in a lot of these meetings. Let me go ahead and play this. So I was disappointed that they, did not review the minutes in this book. I mean, in this meeting, they did have them posted, but they did not review them. They did not ask for people to share their names in the beginning. So there was some kind of, protocol stuff that was crazy and not handled well. And then the person who wasn't handling it got reappointed as a chair. So, you know, I think we just have to be careful that we don't keep doing the same thing because it's what we've always done, but make sure we're doing the most efficient thing. And I think it's okay. But you can see, for example, the guy right now on the screen, his mic is to his far shoulder. And every time he turned and looked like that, you couldn't hear him. And that was a lot of the time. And so that was really frustrating to hear. This is one that is interesting to me because, again, I feel like some people don't understand what our purpose is as being a part of the government. Our job is not to control people. Our job is to protect and preserve basically what our community wants to hold. And so this one had several incidences. So I noticed that they were talking, it kept bringing it back in to their purpose, which I thought was really good. There was, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 cases that they had to address, but they kept coming back to this. We got to keep our focus on these to make sure we're measuring correctly, which I thought was great because it seemed like they got off into saving the world. And it's like, you're just the Board of Adjustments for Abilene, Texas, you know, kind of rein it in. And so they kept asking these questions. And I was like, what are these questions? And so it was really frustrating because, again, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to learn this out, but it's not very easy. And then I realized in their presentation, they have a criteria for approval. And I'm trying to remember if they had I don't think they had a packet for us to look at these things. I'll have to double check and make sure, because I think these things are critical for us who are not in attendance to the meeting to be able to see these, because sometimes they show them and sometimes they don't, and sometimes they don't get the camera right. And that's okay. I don't necessarily fault them for that, but we should have access to the presentation slides if there are some in the packet. It's not hard for them to do. It's just an extra step. So I found the questions, and I love that they said it to me every time. And I was like, right over my head. So section 1.4.4.2 of the Land Development Code has criteria for approval. So there are special circumstances or conditions arising from physical surroundings, shape, topography, or other features affecting the land such that the strict application of the provision of this code will create an undue hardship or inequity other than financial upon or for the applicant in developing the land, or deprive the applicant of reasonable and beneficial use of the land. So they're saying there are some exceptions to the Land Development Code because it's not black and white, and you can't treat it as such because it says physical surrounding, shape, topography, other features affecting the land. Now, I understand that that's affecting the land, but there's some interesting conversations that happen. So the existing... So that's the first criteria. No, that's not the first one. Okay, that granting of the variance will not be contrary to the public interest and will not be injurious to neighboring properties or otherwise detrimental to the public welfare. Granting the variance is consistent with the intent of the Abilene Lands Development Code, which is being rewritten, I believe. The hardship or inequity suffered by the petitioner is not caused wholly or substantially on part by the petitioner. Okay, so these, I think, are the four questions they're supposed to approve. And I have to say that I've watched these meetings enough that I really want to go because I want to be able to ask a question or make a public comment because of some of what's going on here kind of is frustrating to me. So let me explain why. All right. So, for example, this guy did not follow the permitting procedures to build an unattached structure on his property. And, you know, Having worked enough with the city and having seen what you're supposed to do for the city, there's no, like when you move into a house, they don't say, okay, here's the rules. You got to follow the rules. If you want to do this, you check with the city, Some people just don't understand that you can't just go willy-nilly and build free stuff all over the place on your property. There's codes you have to, you know. And so I feel like that's part of the city's job is to make sure that's informed. However, they can inform people, but they can have grace when people make mistakes. So I've seen like there was, I think it was a board of building. No, yeah. Board of building standards. A guy ripped off the stop work sticker thing that they had on it several times, even though it said do not remove. That to me is defiant. But this guy, he didn't seem like he was just out to really mess with them, and he messed up. He didn't do the right permit. And so once he got the permit, he stepped in line and started doing the right thing and he apologized. And so what ensued was the frustrating part. They were like, well, he didn't really comply. He was thinking he could get away with it and he could do what he wanted. And now to reward that sets a precedent. And it's like, goodness gracious, fine the man, make him have to pay for his inconsistencies. But if the project is not a problem, then let it be, because they're not supposed to micromanage our property. They're just supposed to try and keep some general cohesion to what's going on. And so it's hard for me to know how much of it he really, to me, it seemed like he wanted it. It was further back to the back of the property line that it was legal. And it sounded like he was trying to get a variance there. And they wanted him to pick up this property that had been built on concrete and move it forward or tear it down. And it was like, well, we don't want you to tear it down, but we're going to make you have to work to make it conform. And it's like, to me, that crossed the line. It's like this, it was a decent looking garage. That's what said it was, or, you know, he was just trying to build an extra storage, you know, whatever, because they have a carport. So he built a garage, but it's like trying to tell somebody that they can't have this. This is where not an effective use of our city time. And again, the word precedent was brought up. And I think that these are exceptions. When you bring it before the board as an exception, you should make an exception and decide based on this exception, is it something that we can deal with? You don't go based on this one exception, I'm going to try and make the decision for every exception that's going to come along. Case by case basis, that's what their job is, not to make precedent. And again, this wasn't some willy-nilly crazy situation. There's been other willy-nilly crazy situations that I understand, but this one, it just seems like there's some confusion on what the goal of the board is, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. So I'm going to have to go to one of these meetings because I'm going to have to figure out what's going on so that I can actually make sure I understand what's going on. Then there was this other property that their house was facing one street and they wanted to tear it down and rebuild it to about the same size property, but a better use of space. And it was going to require them to go to the back of the property past the line of conformity. And the interesting thing, it's in an older neighborhood. There are several houses that have done this exact same thing, pushed it to that past that line that is the standard part of the land development code. And then also, he made a comment, well, if you tear it down, then it's no longer just about conformity. It's a new construction and you have to follow those codes. And it's like, oh my goodness. Like, really? Like, this is not how it's supposed to go. It just seems so complicated. And again, the precedence piece needs to stop. I don't know how to get that out of the vocabulary. And again, I don't know these people. However, one of the new board appointment that just happened, I think it was in November, I can't quite remember, was Joy Ellinger. And man, I was so appreciative of her voice and another gentleman's voice to the far right. I couldn't figure out his name because I don't know if you tell, they have this screen that says item 3 board of adjustments on there. And when they go to the board members, you can't read it. So like, I can't read that. That's, I believe, John Loudermilk. I believe that's who that is, but I'm not sure. And I'm learning these board members' names, but the guy on the right, he and Joy Ellinger were the steady eddies of the group. It was like, listen, there's not a problem. I may not personally like it, but technically there's no problem with what they're trying to do. Let's just give them the approval. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be our opinions. It's supposed to be, does it meet it? And for the most part, it does. And so I'm glad that they have direction with these criteria questions.
They should stay on it and not worry about precedents, because I don't see anything saying, but don't approve this because it might change precedents. That's something that has gone way,
way beyond what they're supposed to do, in my opinion. So that's my opinion. Okay. The other interesting storyline, let me see if I can get down to it. Yep. Here we go. So sadly enough, the arrow forward sign is in is uncertainty. Yep, this is it. Okay. Because somehow he said that they've been paying for usage on the sign on I-20, the arrow forward sign, since 1979. And somehow either in 20 or 21, they just missed a payment. How many of us have ever done that, right? And because of that, they're having to move it, possibly, if they can't get it figured out, which is sad to me, because that's not, I mean, it's a sign. And here again, it's not serving the purpose it was intended to serve. This sign is iconic to that I-20 area. I've been here since 93. It's been there since then. I mean, obviously since 79, but it's something that is silly. And so if he can't get it fixed with the state, then he's going to try and move it to another property so that it can still be a part of Abilene, which I think it's just a good little story. Sad for them, sad for us, but who knows? Sometimes change is a good thing. But if they can't keep it where it is, it'll have a new location, thankfully. Okay, so let's go to the Airport Development Board. All right, I'm going to try to go through this fast, but I'm not going to tell you most of what they talked about. It's really fascinating. It's good to know how our airport works, what part of it, how it contributes to our economy in our city, and what they're doing to make it a better use of space and revenue. Don Green is a very professional guy, and I appreciate his attention to details. He is probably one of the few people, it really strains me to listen to him on double speed because he talks so fast and he says so much information. I love it because normally I watch him on double speed. So they have 5 flights a day in Abilene, and it's going really well. The number of flights are up, the revenue is going up, there's more seats, so people are really enjoying that. The parking lot fees collected increased by 28%. So there is some issues going on in the federal government right now with not having enough money to function, and that will negatively affect the airport eventually, but not immediately, because a lot of their funding does come from the federal government. So they're dependent upon that. Then also, I want to do a shout out to Jason Groves. He's working with doing marketing for the airport, and I think he's going to come up here in a little bit. He has done an outstanding job. Like, I knew him previously, but I'm just so impressed with what he's brought to the table. Yeah, here he's coming. What he brought to the table and just how he's increasing the marketability of the city airport. And so they have these new digital signs that they're having come in. They're putting them in. And so what's fun is you can pay $15. And if you have someone coming in on a flight, you can get them a welcome sign. Or if you're an airman returning home from deployment or some other military exercise that you're gone for, they will give you a free welcome home sign. And so you can do, you know, other advertising, and they have a lot of options. They have these banners coming in. He just really seems like he's trying to make it a good source of information. And I think that is really resourceful. Then let's see here. I did love this part. They're talking about how we create a turnaround thing for the rental cars, which gives them an ability to wash the cars and get them back out ready to be used. And it's going to cost about $4 million. And they've actually charged this service fee. They've been charging the service fee on, I guess, people who fly in and out of Abilene or whatever, or maybe the rental cars. I'm not sure exactly where it's being charged, but it's accrued already $2 million. So they're already halfway to collecting what they need to do, and they're still trying to figure out where it's going to go. And I just really love this approach that the city doesn't want to take out debt for it. The car rental companies don't want to take out debt for it. So they're doing something proactive to prepare so they have cash on hand. And I'm going to always cheer that on, because that is a very fiscally wise way to move forward in a lot of these projects that just takes a little bit more forethought than a lot of us like to operate in, and that's okay. But I don't really have any connection to the airport, but I'll just say that I enjoy hearing what's going on there, because it's very organized. I will say it's very frustrating. There are no presentation slides. He didn't have the minutes posted. Those are things that I wish would be done, but I think, you know, reaching out to him is not a problem. And one day I'm going to get there and start communicating in that way so I can have better, I don't know. I was trying to understand how to better, as a person who doesn't understand what's going on, to stay on track with what they're talking about. It was a little confusing at times because it was moving so fast. And there's a long, it seems like there's a gap between, maybe it's been the holidays that there's been a gap between the meetings, and it makes it a little more confusing. But overall, a very informative meeting, and I learned a lot. All right, so now to my favorite meeting of every other week, the city council. So it was a busy meeting. Lots happening, not a lot of big things happening. There I am. It's so fun to see me. I don't like to be on camera. Ironic. But what I wanted to talk to you about for the city council meeting, and I'm going to pause this video real quick and come over here, is to let you know that, you know, the agenda you can see right here is from item 4 through 14, I believe. Yep, that's it. So this whole page is all on the consent agenda. And it's just, there's so much information that you can't just skip. You really can't just know much from this. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 resolutions from appointing board members. There, you can see all the different board members there are. And, you know, I don't have them to show you the actual people who are posted. I personally don't think I know any of those people. And so as a person who's been pretty involved in watching what's going on in the city, it's weird where it's like, where do you find these people? Now, some of them are reappointed, and I take that back. I did know them because they've been on the board previously. But anyway, didn't get the visual arts jury form, arts jury board position. You know, I was really holding out on that one. I think I mentioned last week, I understand why. So it is. So most of these are resolutions. A lot of times they're, you know, like, they're just to, I was just going to touch base with them. So to pay for field services in with the pressure plane supply line, or, you know, the water treatment plant, or things like this, that it's information that's important. But as an average citizen, you're probably not going to keep track of whether they spend the money in the water and sewer supply system and stuff like that. There was also appointed Gary Holland, Dr. Gary Holland, for the new health authority and medical director for the Abilene-Taylor-Kelly Health District. Why can't we have him step in front of the people so we can see him and meet him? You know, because I don't know how many of us actually have met Dr. Gary Holland, but glad they have that. And what was interesting is it said that his salary is more than $50,000. If he's a city employee or he's a part of the Taylor County Health Director, I mean, it shouldn't be a problem for the... It's almost like if they hadn't put the salary at all, I wouldn't thought anything of it. But because they just said, oh, it's more than that, it's like, wow, yeah, I make more than $10. I mean, that's vague. I don't understand that. But that's just my little 2 cents. Okay. And then they had a agreement with DACO Fire Equipment for some protective gear that they purchased. I purchased a 1-ton pickup truck. And then they introduced the interim chief, or they thanked the interim chief of police for his service. And then it actually had the new chief of police was there, and I went up and met him, and I just told him we were excited to have him bring some positive to help make our or make some just make some positive changes in the right direction in our community. I don't really know anything one way or the other, except that I would assume a new person's going to come in and bring some good things. So that's part of it. And then they had some information about center training room. And then what I wanted to show you was the item 14, because here's what I don't get. And that's why, you know, with this guy with the Board of Adjustments, I get a little frustrated, because they expect us to know all the hoops. And I don't know anything about this guy. He could have been completely blatantly ignoring what he was supposed to do. I'm not saying that, but I've seen enough go the way that most people don't know what's going on, and they do things that they shouldn't do because they didn't know. So, like, for example, on this ordinance, okay, this is back to that Buffalo Gap Road where Starbucks and Golden Chick are, and then the neighborhood was really frustrated about it. I didn't even know this, and I wish I had a relationship with some of these people so I could say, did you know this? The subject property was rezoned as a PD 96A in 2004 to create a mixed-use development that allowed specific high-intensity uses along the frontage of the property and less intense uses, primarily educational uses in the rear, where the PD abuts residential zoning district on three sides. So I'm thinking, if they knew this happened in 2004, then all the frustration, all the things seems not to even make sense, because they should have known this. But here, this is like it's been tabled. I mean, this is like the third time, and none of this information, to my knowledge, was presented at the planning and zoning meetings. So that's curious as to me. Why not? Okay, so I feel like what they're doing is they're making a statement to cover all their bases, because what else I wanted to show you was, and this is just this downloaded, that here's the ordinance to change it. You remember that's the property. Let's see here. I'm going to go back out a little bit. Here's the staff report, the background. Again, I want to say that I wish I'd seen this because I think it makes so much more sense. But even to like have an email attachment or a link to send to people so that they can know what's going on, so they can understand. And so what I want to scroll down here, and I know this is taking a little bit of time, but I think it's important. And this is the easiest way to do this because the way they have set it up is it was taking forever to do it another way. But let me just show you real quick. Sorry. I wanted just to show you the responses from the citizens. Okay, so here is, we're opposed to the zoning changes from PD 96 to general retail. So again, I think if they understood what the PD 96 was, general retail would, anyway, so I think I understand it. And then I read this and I'm like, maybe I don't understand it. So here's an opposition email. Look at this one, an opposition email. It says, I'm trying to get to the first of the sentence here. With the already constructed Golden Chick under construction Starbucks, shouldn't the zoning of these properties have already been addressed prior to issuing these permits? If so, that does not make the construction of Golden Chick and Starbucks does that make it illegal or at a minimum a violation of the city ordinance? We do recognize Golden Chick has been in operation for years and substantial products have been made to Starbucks. So it's not reasonable to shut down then anyway. It's just like, and here's, this was the letter that they get. They're opposed. Like, so you can literally go online and read all these comments from the people who have said, I'm opposed to this. Okay. And they took the time to look, they even got a petition. Here's one page. Here's two pages. Here's three pages of signatures of people who opposed it and they move forward. And to me, it looked like, you know, I would like to get to know these people in planning and zoning so I can understand what's going on better so that I maybe sound a little bit more understanding of what's going on. But I just wanted you to see how much feedback they got. And I guess they don't have the, maybe they have it right here. It's been a while since I looked at this. There it is. Look at all those red dots. There's a strong, and they only had to have a majority to get this, a super majority to get this passed. So they still had every right to pass it. But actually, it was just passed on consent agenda. So this is the first reading. The final reading and public hearing is next one, and we'll have to see what happens. I'm sure that the residents will show up. I don't know. Again, I feel like I came into this late to the game, so I can't really understand how to help with this, but that's what that is. And so again, I am learning and growing and trying to understand what's going on so we can help make these better experiences in the future. All right. So the reason why I was showing you about the debt stuff and all the budget stuff is we got to pay attention, and I feel a little dumb. I do this a lot, but that's okay. I know we can't catch everything, but even in all my research of the bond stuff, I never thought about amortization. And so I'd seen some pictures as what I like to describe in the budget of like, you know, like that you pay, there's $10 million in principal and that we pay towards the principal payment for debt service. I don't know if that's water and sewer. I think that's water and sewer, the debt, the bonds. And then there's like $7 million on that we pay in interest on the principal. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like 40%. And as I'm thinking through this, I'm realizing we don't have the full picture. And so we don't understand what's being paid, because surely in an amortization type situation, you don't pay the same amount all the time. You pay a lot more heavier. You pay a lot more debt interest up front, and then it gets less and less and less. And so what we seem to neglect having any conversations about, and the city still doesn't talk about this. So this is where I will say, big goose egg, you failed on this project, because you should be more open and honest about it. And this is not, in my opinion, very, very, very honoring of the taxpayer money, because you say it's going to authorize the sale of $43 million in bonds as part of the voter approved bond. But did you know? It's not just $43 million. Let me come down here and look at your little presentation slides. And I don't think it's going to show up well because it's really bad quality. It's a very bad quality and it's not really meant to be seen. And I just want to show you so you don't think, hey, I'm making this up. Nope, I'm not making it up. Yep, it's really hard to see. Let me see if I can get it over. Well, you can see it super well, but this is as best as I can do. It's $65 million. So we agreed to $43 million because they said that's all. We just need $43 million. And they didn't go asterisk, don't forget, you're going to be paying interest on this. And again, it's dumb. We should know this. So maybe they're thinking, I don't have to explain to the fact that if we take out $43 million, we're not paying $43 million on these bonds. We're paying $65 million. And so to my knowledge, there's been little done to save up and prepare for these expenses, mainly the recreation centers. And there's a lot I can go in on that one to talk about. But for them to say, yeah, we just didn't make it happen, so we all cover the extra $20 million. You know, I just think that if taxpayers knew that we actually approved a bond that's going to cost us $65 million, I don't know how many people would actually approve that, because, again, that's a lot of money. So anyway, that was just disappointing to me that we're not having these conversations, but now we will, because now Tammy's on the move and she's going to be like, wait a minute, look, we, you know, I know that I'm not the most qualified in all these areas, but guess what? I don't know who I'm supposed to talk to find this information out, because I know that there are things that we have done in the past that we didn't know were wrong because no one told us they were wrong. And then it's like, oh my gosh, we didn't know that was what we're supposed to do. And it's not like we're trying to do the wrong thing, but when we don't understand things, there should be someone who's willing to help us out. And so I'm thankful that I confirmed this and said, hey, am I understanding this right? And then you can see, it's hard to read, but the interest, the debt service is really high. The interest is at $2.6 million in the beginning, and then by the end, we're barely paying like $69,000. I think that's right. And we're going to be paying this off for 20 years. So thankfully, it's not a 40-year. I think they can do 40 years, but it's 20 years we're going to be paying for this stuff. And, you know, we've got to learn as a society that if we pay for stuff for tomorrow, we pay for things today. We don't pay for things today, and we make the future generations pay for this. I just don't think that's a healthy way to live. And so I'm hoping we can start doing that better job with that. So I think that wraps that up, and we're going to now go into the weekend preview. All right. There's not a lot happening out of the ordinary this week. We have Parks and Recreation Board on January 16th at 8:30. We have the Abilene Housing Authority on January 17th at 9 a.m. And we have the Keep Abilene Beautiful Board January 17th at 4 p.m. in the conference room. And so the Park and Rec Board meetings are recorded, as well as the, oh, not the Keep Abilene Beautiful Board. I don't know. I was saying that one that happens in the conference room on the second floor. So it's not in the basement. Interesting. And the Abilene Housing Authority actually happens off campus. And the Abilene, yeah, that's for the next week. So we don't have a city council meeting this week, so I hope that gives you some ideas of things you can check out and look into. I think there's a lot of good things happening on these boards this week, and I think there's ways we can get involved and be a part of making a better situation for our community. And we may not be appointed to the boards, but we certainly can have our voices heard by being a part of the board. So I'm going to encourage you again, check out your calendar, find one board you want to track with and see what's going on, because a lot of these boards are feeder boards that go into the actual decisions made in the city council. And it's important to know what's going on. And if we're watching the boards, then we can get kind of upstream what's happening so that we can do a better job of making sure we're not too late to the game to actually make a difference if we need to. And the problem is, we never know we need to until we need to. And that's why I'm doing this podcast, to help keep you educated and informed so that you can make an impact in Abilene in the big country. So make sure you subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family so that they can too be informed and educated so they can make an impact in Abilene in the big country. And until next time.